Thank you for downloading this episode of the Mac Report podcast. This episode is brought to you by our subscribers over at themacreport.com. Their support allows us to bring you our coverage of Merrimack Athletics. If you are a subscriber, I thank you. And if you're interested in becoming a subscriber and gaining access to all of our coverage, head on over to themacreport.com today and sign up. If you don't want to subscribe but still want to support us, please rate and review our podcast over on Apple Podcasts. Once again, thank you to our subscribers for making our coverage possible. And now, on to this week's episode. Welcome in to our first off-season edition of the Mac Report podcast. I'm Mike McMahon. We have a very in-depth interview with Merrimack men's hockey coach Scott Boer coming up in just a little bit. We talked about their off-season so far in generalities. They can't talk about the guys that they've added in the portal just yet. Staff, coaches, they can't talk about those players until they are papered, until they sign their financial aid agreements, I believe, under NCAA rules, but I can talk about them. So we're going to talk over what was done in the portal so far, what I see happening there. We did talk about all the incoming freshmen with Coach Boer. So that was a good conversation about all of the freshmen that are coming in and where he sees those guys fitting into the lineup and what he saw in those guys in the recruiting process, what the staff saw in those guys over the course of the recruiting process as well. Also a little bit of news. It does look like freshman defenseman Nathan King is probably going to be moved up into the class of 2024. I had him projected as a 2025 recruit. I think that was the original plan, but with the way the roster's taken shape, it sounds like King is probably going to move up and come in this fall, which is good. I mean, they needed another defenseman. They did add a couple out of the portal, lost a couple in the portal. But even with the addition of Cam Kungle last week to go along with Jameis Powell, who committed earlier in the year, they did need one more defenseman. They probably still need one more. I think if you really just look at the numbers, they probably still need one more defenseman, which could be addressed in the portal. I think it probably will be. So that's my guess. I think they're probably done adding forwards, just looking at the numbers. They've got, I think, 18 forwards committed for the roster next year, which gives them 6 full lines. That's plenty of depth. I think they're at 8 defensemen with King moving up. You probably want to get to 9. They had 8 last year with Brown out. They had 9 with Michael Brown on the roster, but Brown was out of the lineup all year. So that only gave them 8. And as we saw, you know, a couple of injuries and things can get a little dicey back there. So I think one more defenseman getting to 9 is ideal. And I think if they were to do that, if they are to address that, they probably address that out of the portal. There's not really another guy other than King who's ready to move up. Maybe David Green. You could make the argument that he might be ready, but it's close. I think he would benefit from another year, probably playing out of the Ontario League somewhere, either in Western Canada or maybe even the USHL. So I think it'll probably be a transfer if they were to get that 9th defenseman. But again, that's just a guess. But again, let's talk about the portal and what has happened so far. So let's start with the guys that they lost. Matt Capone, Devlin O'Brien, Nikita Bordienko, Brady Hunter, Adam Arvidsson, Mike Brown, Zachary Borgil, Stephen Bukowski. Pretty long list of players that went into the portal. I think, and this is just my read on the situation, I don't think any of those departures were a surprise to the coaching staff. I think that they knew those were coming for the most part. I think also to, again, this is just my read on the situation, but I think that they wanted to change up their team a little bit, both on the ice and in the locker room. I think they felt that there needed to be a mix-up. There needed to be a little bit of a shake-up. They needed to find kind of a different path. And that's why there's only 11 guys returning. And, you know, obviously there's a bunch of guys that are graduating, a couple of guys that have signed pro contracts. But I think that they wanted to address a couple of things. The way that they play on the ice, I think they wanted to get heavier. I think they wanted to get a little bit stronger and a little more size, which they definitely addressed with some of these guys. And then I think in the room too, I think they just needed to have some different voices in there. And as Merrimack has done in the past, as they did 2 years ago, a lot of the guys, it was kind of a two-pronged approach in the portal, but a lot of the guys that they targeted are guys that have worn letters either with their college program or in juniors. Like Harrison Roy and John Jaworski were both captains last year. Jaworski with Sacred Heart, Roy with Lake Superior. Other guys have worn letter. Cam Kungel, who's a freshman, was a freshman defenseman at Lake Superior, is going to be a sophomore next year. He wore a letter when he played in the BCHL. So there's a lot of these guys that they have coming in have worn letters. And I think that they just wanted to change up the vibe of their locker room a little bit and also change up the way that they play on the ice, adding more size, more physicality, just becoming a heavier team to play against, which is really what they were 2 years ago and even 3 years ago. And Scott Borch talked about that, just what Max Newton and Jared Derflinger or Jake Derflinger and Stephen Jandrick brought to the roster back in 2021. You know, the fact that they were heavier players and they had some leadership there. So I think that's what they were looking to do. And I think, again, I don't think that I think some of the names that went into the portal may have surprised fans. I don't think that they surprised the coaching staff. I think some of it was methodical and a little planned out, and I think they're changing things up both on the ice and in the room. But let's run through some of these guys. Again, those are the guys that they lost. And if you notice, too, like a lot of those guys were to be seniors. Capone, O'Brien, Arvidsson, Brown were going to be seniors next year. Borgil's got a grad year, so that's effectively a senior. Bukowski's going to be a junior. The only younger player that went into the portal was Brady Hunter, who I know that they loved, by the way. Like, the staff loved Brady Hunter, loved what he brought to the table from an effort standpoint, just approached his game like a pro. I think that was more a numbers game than anything else. I think that, you know, he's going to be able to go somewhere else and play a bigger role, especially with kind of a young up-and-coming team. I think that Hunter can play elsewhere in college hockey, and all indications are that he'd be a great fit. So I think he was just more, him in particular, I think was just more the victim of a numbers game than anything else. Bordeanko would have been a junior next year along with Bukowski. But again, kind of a two-pronged approach. If you look at who they brought in through the portal, it feels weird to say this in terms of college hockey, but they went after some grad transfers, which again was their bread and butter 2 years ago. With Ryan Lee Bold and Otto Leppinen and Will Cavalry. They went after some grad transfers, and then they also, for lack of a better term, went after some guys with some term left on their deals, if that makes sense. Again, talking about it like from an NHL perspective, which is really what feels like free agency a little bit. You've got Antonio Venuto from Ferris State, who is a grad. John Jaworski, Sacred Heart, is a grad. Harrison Roy from Lake State is a grad. And then they went after a lot of guys with a lot of time left on their eligibility. Cam Kungel, a freshman defenseman from Lake Superior. Michael Emerson, who I think has an extremely high ceiling, was a freshman at North Dakota last year, drafted by Carolina. Jack Richard, who was a freshman at Niagara. Nils Wahlstrom, who ended up being the starting goaltender for AIC as a freshman last year. He kind of comes in and will fill the Hugo Olas role in tandem, more than likely, with Max Lundgren. I think Lundgren will get some time there as well. And then, of course, Seamus Powell, who they committed earlier in the during the season, was a freshman at Boston College 2 years ago, will have 3 years of eligibility left. He played in the USHL last year. So it's kind of a mix where you've got some grad guys and some younger guys that are going to be sophomores that you can build around, that have some experience. Again, a lot of them have been captains at previous levels, which should come as no surprise. And I think that's kind of where that's kind of what they targeted. Guys that have been captains at the junior level or from a grad standpoint, at the collegiate level, obviously, Roy and Jaworski in particular, and then guys who have been captains at the junior level, and then also guys that, again, they have a little bit more roster control over and can have for a couple of more years. So let's look at these guys one by one, and then we'll get to our interview with Coach Borch. We'll start with Seamus Powell, who's a defenseman. Again, committed during the season. I was a freshman at Boston College 2 years ago, played for Dubuque in the USHL this past year. I've watched video on all of these guys through Instat over the last couple of weeks. Have taking kind of a deep dive into their analytics. So here's my thoughts on these players. And again, we'll do a future podcast with Coach Bork where we'll talk about these incoming guys as well. Probably in a couple of weeks, maybe a month, once these guys kind of get all their stuff on paper and the coaches are allowed to talk about them. I like the group just in general. I like the group they've assembled so far. I do think it gets them back to a team that's a little heavier to play against, which Merrimack needs to be. Last year, that was one of the things that I didn't think went in the right direction. It's one of the things I think they missed was some of the heaviness and physicality that some of the guys that they lost 2 years ago brought. I think that's really where obviously injuries sidetracked last season a little bit, but I think that their style sidetracked last season a little bit too. I think it was a little too flashy. You need skill, but I think, you know, the way Merrimack's bread and butter is going to be being physical, being hard to play against, especially in that rink. And I think they got away from that. I think last year's team kind of got away from that. And watching back some of their games from last year, that was evident over the course of the season. So I think what they addressed here with a lot of these transfers are, and some of their freshmen too, as you'll hear about, are guys that are going to play the way that I think a Merrimack team needs to play to be successful. I think Merrimack needs to try to steal the blueprint from those successful UMass Lowell teams of a few years ago, Providence. Like, that's the blueprint you need to try to replicate. You can't replicate BC and BU's blueprint. You're not going to get those players, not at Merrimack. You're just not going to get them. And honestly, I don't even know that you need to get them, because as we saw in the national championship game, the BC super team full of first round picks did not, they went far, but they did not win a national championship. The Michigan super team of last year went far. They made the Frozen Four, but they did not win the national championship. The teams that have won national championships the last 2 years have not been loaded with first round picks. They've been loaded with middle to late round picks or undrafted free agents. And they're good, heavy, teams that can play a defensive style. Denver was the highest scoring offense in the country, but look at what they did in the tournament. They won every single game 2-1. They were the best defensive team in the NCAA tournament. Quinnipiac was the best defensive team in college hockey last year and won the national championship. So there's still a path where you can win with older, heavier players. I think there's an attitude that comes along with that too, and that's where recruiting some of the captains comes into play. But let's start with Paul. Again, he's going to be a sophomore defenseman next year, 6 foot, listed at 6 foot, 165 pounds, played a big role for Dubuque this year in the USHL. I think he's an all-around defenseman. Like, I think he's underrated offensively. I think he's going to be able to bring some things offensively, more from a play-driving standpoint. I like his ability to distribute the puck, both in transition and in the offensive zone. I thought analytically and from what I've seen on some video here, really good at setting up scoring chances. Not all of them end up in goals, but really good at setting up scoring chances. In the defensive zone, he's been pretty good. You know, he's not really a physical player, but he's good at generating takeaways and turnovers with his stick. I think came into BC a little young, probably wasn't ready to come into that team last year, which is why he went back to juniors. Ironically enough, I think Harrison Roy was similar, because he started at BC before he went to Lake Superior State. And then Roy went and blossomed at Lake State over the last couple of years. So I think that Powell can be similar in that. I think that he can come in and make an impact. I think he will make an impact and probably be, not my opinion, will be an every night defenseman next year. So Seamus Powell, again, I think underrated offensively, especially from a puck distribution standpoint. Not real physical, but can win turnovers and can force cause some hecticness with his stick and the defensive zone. I like what he brings to the table. Let's go to Harrison Roy next, because this is kind of in order. I'm going to go in order in which these guys committed out of the transfer portal. So Harrison Roy, senior last year at Lake Superior State, had 24 points, 8 goals, 16 assists. I think, again, you look at a guy who's 6'1", 200 pounds. You know, he's not a 5'8", 5'9 forward. 6'1", 200 pounds. Again, has some size. I don't know that he's terribly physical either. But really good offensively. I think he's a good shooter. I think he's more of a setup guy than a goal scoring guy. I think at Merrimack, I think if you pair him with a guy like Ty Deneau, they could play off each other really well, because Deneau is so good at getting into the slot and creating those scoring opportunities. He played center at Lake State. It does sound like he more than likely will play on the wall at Merrimack. That could change. I think that's kind of how they look at him right now. But again, I like some of the tools he brings from a distribution standpoint. I think 24 points in the CCHA a year ago, you know, it's probably not completely one for one translatable to 24 points in Hockey East. I am in the middle of building a calculator to kind of figure out what that has meant over the last couple of years. And every year is different, but we've got 2 or 3 years worth of data now where we can say, okay, 1 point in the CCHA that is transferred into Hockey East has generally been worth X number of points in Hockey East. So I'm in the middle of building that. We'll kind of figure what that means for Roy's 24 points a year ago at Lake State. I think, you know, my guess is it probably is in the range of 18 to 20 because the Hockey East is just a tougher league than the CCHA. It was last year anyway. But, I mean, there's also some changes here. Roy played the middle last year for Lake State. If you play him on the wall, he's a little bit more up ice. Maybe that creates more opportunities for him offensively, so maybe that point total stays about the same. There's a lot of things that can play a role in what his point total is going to be at Merrimack. But overall, I think it's a really good addition. Also a captain, which is what you're looking for out of those grad students. John Jaworski, transfer from Sacred Heart, doesn't have a ton of size, average size probably for the college game, 5'10", 172 pounds, but is a physical player, especially for a size. I thought he's really physical considering he's not, you know, 6'2", 6'3". Again, good, solid guy down the middle of the rink. I think he probably plays center here. Had 26 points for Sacred Heart last season. I view him as a really good two-way player. He's probably not in the top six given who else they have on the roster. But I think if John Jaworski is your third or fourth line center, he's a really good third or fourth line center. And he's going to be able to kill penalties for you. Played a bunch of ice time for Sacred Heart last year, averaged almost 20 minutes a game. So he was a real key contributor for them a year ago. I think he's going to be a similar guy here, probably in that Mac Welcher mold in terms of role. Where he can do a little bit of everything. Like he can play on your power play if you need him to and go hunt pucks. He's definitely going to be able to play on your penalty kill. And I think he's going to be a guy who forechecks hard and gets in on the forecheck and you know, just stirs some things up, you know, down low as teams are trying to break the puck out. So I like the addition there. Antonio Venuto, a really good offensive winger from Ferris State, purely a winger. He did not play center last year. He's going to be a left wing. I wonder what they do with him. Ty Deneau is a right shot. Venuto's a left shot. They could play them together. I think they're similar players. So I wonder too, if Venuto ends up playing on an opposite line. Like maybe if you're looking at your top two lines, Deneau's on the right side of one, Venuto's on the left side of the other. And it kind of gives you a goal scorer on each line. Venuto is a big body, 6'3", 200 pounds. Was really good last year at getting one of the best players in college hockey at getting into the slot for scoring chances. When you look at his numbers last year, it kind of reflects that. 26 points at Ferris, 12 goals, 14 assists, 98th percentile in college hockey in getting into the slot for scoring chances. So really good at that. I mean, a big body helps doing that too, right? But again, physical player, 6'3", 201 pounds. I think he's going to be a winger that they haven't really had one of those 6'3" kind of power forward wingers here at Merrimack for a little bit. So I think that he's going to be a good addition there in terms of what he brings to the table and should be able to provide a scoring punch. I think he's going to compliment some guys well, whether he's playing with Hillier or whether he's playing with somebody else, you know, as his center down the middle, maybe Ethan Bono. All right, the goaltender. Oh, Nils Wahlström. Nils Wahlström. I had Nils Wahlström at one point as the second best goalie, depending on how you look at it, the second best goalie in the transfer portal. He had a fantastic freshman year for AIC, 227 goals against average, 920 save percentage. Carried them to the Atlantic Hockey Championship game, and this was a team that going into the Atlantic Hockey Championship game and for most of their season was without most of their top players. They had at one point all six of their top six forwards at the beginning of the year out of the lineup, which is ridiculous. You know, you want to talk about injuries. AIC was hurt as much, if not more, than Merrimack from an injury perspective. And they got carried to the Atlantic Hockey Championship game, in my opinion, in large part because of the play of Wahlström, who was only a freshman, too. faced a ton of shots because, again, the team in front of him was banged up and hurt. So he faced a ton of shots. I think he was one of the top goaltenders in the portal. I think he was right up there with Tommy Scarfone from RIT, who transferred to Wisconsin. I would argue that there's more value in Wahlstrom because of the fact that he's coming off his freshman year. You're going to get 3 years of Nils Wahlstrom. Wisconsin's going to get 1 year of Tommy Scarfone because he's a grad student. So I think that there's an argument that Wahlstrom, again, from a, like a value standpoint, is a better value than Scarfone because he has more term left. You got 3 years left of eligibility. Also, you know, I think there's something to be said for the fact that Wahlstrom played in front of a weaker team last year. That RIT team, you know, Scarfone was great, but that RIT team was loaded. Carter Wilkie transferred, I think, to North Dakota. You know, they had some defensemen that transferred to the power schools. So they, you know, they were a little loaded last year, that RIT team. Scarfone didn't face nearly as many shots as Wahlstrom faced. So that's where I think this is a really good addition. I think he's going to play alongside Lundgren. They did bring in Ryan Keyes as a freshman to replace Bukowski. I think, you know, just quickly on Keyes, because he's not a transfer, he's going to be a freshman. Does kind of give you those Craig Pantano vibes. Played for South Shore Kings in the NCDC, just like Pantano did. 926 save percentage, 206 goals against. So really good numbers. That league generally, a lot of D3 schools recruit out of the NCDC. There's not a lot of Hockey East teams that recruit heavily out of the NCDC. But still, Pantano came out of there, ended up being a pretty good starting goaltender at Merrimack and then transferred to Northeastern and played at a Beanpot. So their goalie room, I think, is really solid. I think Wahlstrom and Lundgren will ultimately be the two that battle this year, especially with Keyes just being a freshman. But I like their goaltenders a lot. I think Wahlstrom was a really good addition. And again, Max Lundgren, as I've written about, if you look at what his numbers were in the USHL 2 years ago, very similar to Michael Robble, very similar to Jacob Fowler. So I mean, he was right there. Numbers wise, he was right there with those guys, you know, as one of the top goaltenders in the USHL. So I think they got two really good goaltenders on the roster, which you need. Cause look, that position struggled a little bit last year and it wasn't
just that position.
As I've talked about in the past, it's the goaltending numbers. So it gets attached to one individual, but it is a team stat. Those goals against and save percentages are team stats because how many scoring chances are you giving up? Like beginning of the year, they were giving up just a ton of scoring chances. But to me, you look at what was the biggest difference between Merrimack this past year and 2 years ago. It was not scoring. They scored more. That's what people... This team, this 2024 Merrimack team, scored more goals than the 2023 team that went to the Hockey East Championship game in the NCAA tournament. On average. Not by much, like by 0.01. But even if you say it was the same, scoring was fine. They scored the same number of goals. Per game, they were at 2.8 this year. They were at 2.79 2 years ago. The difference was they gave up a lot more. Their team save percentage went from, I think, 918 to below 900. That was the difference. That's what the difference was. It had nothing to do with scoring. They scored plenty of goals. They scored as many goals as they did 2 years ago. That you proved 2 years ago that you can score 2.8 goals per game and be a team that makes the NCAA tournament. What was different this year was they didn't stop as many pucks from going in their net. And whether that was the goaltending or whether it was the quality of shot chances they were giving up, that was the biggest difference. It wasn't goal scoring. So I think that their goalie room, I think they got two guys here that they can definitely play. They got two guys here that can definitely be starters. They got to allow fewer chances. You know, there's no question about it because that was an issue last year. That's why I think Borgil's numbers and Olas's numbers dipped the way that they did. But if they can tighten things up, they've got the goaltender. They've got two guys that can both be number one goalies that you lean on if you need to. So the goalie room is in good shape. All right, Jack Richard, freshman last year at Niagara, had 21 points, 10 goals, 21 assists. This is a player, another one that I'm excited about. I think he's got a high ceiling. I know it's Atlantic Hockey, but 21 points as a freshman, I don't care what league you're in, 21 points as a freshman is 21 points as a freshman. And again, we talk about addressing physicality, addressing heaviness, addressing size. Jack Richard is 6'4", was one of the most physical players in college hockey last year. Didn't average a ton of ice time either. At 21 points, he only averaged about 12 minutes of ice per game. I think he's a guy that is going to be a little bit more of a longer-term project. Probably starts off, I think he will play the middle, probably starts off as the third or fourth line center. You know, him and Jaworski are probably your third and fourth line centers to start the year in some version. But I think that Richard is a guy that as a sophomore is your third or fourth line center. As a junior and a senior, could be your first or second line center. Like, I think he's going to develop into that type of player. I like the way that he plays. He wins battles. He's physical. He's a pretty good shooter in terms of getting to those greasy areas of the ice. I think he's a guy that can really mature into one of the better centers on the roster. And I think he's good defensively too, especially with his, he's physical defensively, which is what you want. Wins battles, generates some takeaways with a stick, but it's more of a, hey, he's going to go around and bang some guys around. And at 6'4", he's going to wreak some havoc there. So I really like this pickup. I think he's got a high ceiling. Don't know what he looks like early. Again, probably third or fourth line center here at the very beginning, but a guy that later on in his career can blossom into I think a top six center, a first or second line center. Michael Emerson, a forward from the University of North Dakota, only played in six games last year at North Dakota. Played in most of them, though. Because he left in like December. So he played in about every other game for North Dakota, then left and went back to the USHL where he played for the Chicago Steel. I think Emerson has a super high ceiling. Like, I think Emerson is a player who maybe not right away, but could be the top scorer on your team by the time he's a junior or a senior. He was a sixth-round pick of Carolina this past summer. Actually, the drafted ahead of Matt Capone. That tells you the type of player that I think scouts see when they look at Michael Emerson. He was drafted one round ahead of Capone last year. They're both 03s. Capone just came in as an 18-year-old. Emerson was a little more seasoned in junior hockey. But he's a goal scorer. He can get to the greasy areas of the ice. He's a really good shooter. He's a pretty good distributor of the puck. Not real physical, but he has some size at 6'1", 192 pounds. Good in transition. I think he has a super high ceiling. I think Emerson is one of those guys that has the potential to be the best forward on your team. Maybe not right away. He's probably on the wing. He can play the center. He can play center, but he's probably on the wing early on. I think, maybe him and Richard are together on the third line or something like that early on in the year. Over the course of the year, I wouldn't shock me to see Emerson move up the line chart. Wouldn't shock me to find Emerson on the power play at some point. I think he's a really skilled offensive player who's just kind of hitting his potential, and I think the ceiling is super high. I am excited about what Emerson brings to the table. I think there's a really high ceiling with this player. I think that's why he was drafted where he was drafted. I think that's why North Dakota originally brought him in and played him, by the way. He was playing about every other game as a freshman, but they were playing him. I think that they saw something in him. I know from what I've seen on video, I think he can be an explosive player and a guy who brings just a ton to the table. So I'm really excited about seeing where he fits in. Again, I think there's going to be some growth there, as there is with most of these guys. There's going to be some growth early on in terms of where he ends up officially finding that spot. It might be a little bit of a ebb and flow early in the year, as it's going to be, I think, with a lot of their lineup stuff because of the fact that they've only got 11 returners. There's going to be a lot of mixing and matching and experimenting early on in the year. But again, it wouldn't shock me to see Emerson end up in your top six this season. I think he probably starts in the third line. They're going to want him to earn it. But it wouldn't shock me at all to see him end up in your top six this year because I think he's that type of player. And then Cam Kongle, a defenseman who joins him from Lake Superior State. He, again, has pretty good size, 6'2", 194 pounds, left-shot defenseman. Played 18 minutes almost as a freshman this year for Lake State, so that is a good sign. Just more size and strength on the back end, which I think is what they were looking for there on D. I think that's what you're kind of seeing as the common theme, right? You're seeing a lot of size Rashard is 6'4". Harrison Roy is 6'1". Venuto is 6'3". Kungal is 6'2". Emerson is 6'1". You know, Jaworski's the only guy under 6 feet that they bring in out of the transfer portal. So they, I think they wanted to get bigger. They wanted to get stronger. Kungal's going to be a part of that. I think you're going to see him slide in and be a guy that will be in the mix defensively. You know, I think he will definitely be in the mix defensively. And again, I don't think that they're done. I think they want to try to grab one more. If you can grab one, and if it were me at this point, if you're looking at grabbing one more defenseman, I think you're looking for one more guy who kind of fits the Michael Brown mold. Like, if you can find a 6'2", 6'3", defenseman, there's a couple guys like that in there, a 6'2", 6'3", defenseman who's pretty physical in front of the net, can win battles down low, I think that that gets you exactly where you need to be. I think that puts you in a really good spot. And there's a couple of defensemen that are like that still in the portal right now. Let's take a look here. But you've got some guys in there like a John Driscoll from Army who's still uncommitted. Ty Gallagher from Boston University fits the mold perfectly, although I do think he's going somewhere. I think he's already committed. It just isn't out there yet. So, you know, again, I think he'd be great, but I think he's already actually off the table, even though he isn't officially committed. There's others as well. I think that who's another one? I had a couple of guys here. Josef Mysak from Niagara would be a really good fit. 6'3". He's really physical. Luke Robinson from Air Force has some size. Not as physical as Mysak, but has some size. Dylan Moulton from Miami. Same thing. Not as physical, but has some good size at 6'2", 207. So you still have some of those 6'2", 6'3 defensemen that are still out there. Artyom Borishov, who's another Lake State defenseman. He is a grad student. He's 6'3", 210, pretty physical defenseman, so he's still in there. There's some guys that they can still address that need with. And who knows? Maybe they're not even looking at it. Maybe they're looking at another power play point type guy. I don't know. If it were me, though, I think you're looking for one more bigger defenseman that can play physical down low and in front of the net. That's what I would target, I think. And then I think that fills out your roster pretty well. And I think you got a competitive team in your hands. Again, like we'll see what happens with some of these other teams in the league. Maine, you know, did lose Bradley Nadeau, the Nadeau brothers, signed with Carolina, the first-round pick. Boston College, as of right now, has only lost Cutter Gauthier. They haven't lost any of their freshmen yet. Ryan Leonard is going to be back, at least according to the Washington Capitals. We'll see what Will Smith and Gabe Perreault do. I think Perreault is probably back. I think Smith could be gone. We'll see. Heard some rumblings that San Jose is ready to bring him in, but I could also see San Jose saying, hey, Will Smith's got to get better off the puck, so he's going back to college for another year. And there's no crying for BC. They bring in James Hagans, who's probably the number one pick in next year's NHL draft in the 2025. So BC is going to reload. I think they will go into the year as the favorite in Hockey East. But again, like I think that the roster that Merrimack has built here so far in the portal, and it's almost done, but between their freshmen and what they've built in the portal, it's going to take – there's going to be some growing pains early because it's so many new faces. But I think they've got a more competitive team here than they had last year. Again, you got to stay healthy. A lot of things got to go right. You got to stay healthy and everything else. But I do like what they have here on paper, both with the grad transfers and with the younger transfers that they brought. I mean, every transfer they have, it was either a grad student or was a freshman last year. So you can kind of see the strategy. It was either a grad transfer or let's get a younger guy who played well as a freshman and has some term left on his deal, for lack of a better term. all right, so that's kind of where – those are my thoughts on those guys and where those things stand. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back in a minute with Scott Bork. We talked a lot about last year. Again, what he saw from last year's group, what he felt like they needed to address as they went into the offseason, and also about all of the committed freshmen for next year, some of them who also fill that role. I think Caden Cranston is going to be a guy who comes in and is more of an offensive player. He also talked about, though, what Ryan O'Connell and Jordan Huseman bring to the table as probably bottom six guys, guys in that third and fourth line, but who are a little bit heavier and who work real hard off the puck and play really well defensively, which again, Look at Quinnipiac. Look at Denver. Look at what you need. Look at that Michigan team 2 years ago. It wasn't the Adam Fantilli line that was their best line. Oh no, sorry. Yeah, 2 years ago. 2 years ago, the Frozen Four at the Garden. It wasn't their top picks that were the best players for Michigan during that stretch. It was the Jimmy Lambert line. It was their third line. Look at Merrimack 2 years ago. Merrimack goes to the tournament. Was it the Jeffries and Capone line that was really driving things for them? It was the Ryan Leibold line. That third line with Leibold, Mesner, and Seifert, that was a line that was carrying throughout the playoffs. That was a line that was starting every game of the playoffs. So I think that those guys, especially when it comes to playoff time, are very, very important. We've seen that both in the NCAA tournament and especially in the Frozen Four the last 2 years. That's how you got to be heavy. You got to be hard to play against. And if you are, other things will kind of take care of themselves. And you'll at least be giving yourself a chance to win games, especially if you get good goaltending. So I like what they've built. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with Scott Boric right after this.
Sage, what about this stick? I like the orange in it.
No, Mom, what is this? This stick is so dusty. There's no more Geno's left in it.
I can take it from here, Mom. What kind of tweet are we looking for here, bud?
Just a stick so I could toss sauce Chef Boyardee style.
Something more apples versus buckets.
Yeah, as long as I could still snipe Bar South and Selly.
All right, I got the perfect tweet for you. It's going to be this stick here, mid-flex point stick, completely accurate for buy down every time.
This is awesome. I love it.
TSR Hockey. We speak your language.
All right, we're here with the head coach of the Merrimack Men's Hockey Team, Scott Boric. Coach, it's been a couple of weeks, a little over a month since the season ended. I guess just how's the spring been so far?
It's been busy, you know, as you know. It's been a busy spring, but a good spring for us. We've had some really good things happen around us, and recruiting's gone well. So it's been a good spring, but really looking forward to getting beyond the school year and getting our guys to a place where they can come back and just start over essentially this summer.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that kind of when it starts, guys come in the summer and do I think they're on the ice probably amongst themselves and doing workouts and stuff like that?
Yeah, in the last couple of years, we've had almost 100% of the team here in the summer, which is great. I think we'll be close to that again this year. It's really good because we're going to have so many new faces. We only have 11 returning bodies here, so we have so many new faces that in the summer we can kind of build our team, and it's a really good time for that because it's pretty laid back. You know, they're not with the coaches. They're training with the strength coach, but they're not with the coaches on the rink. Gives them an opportunity to be coached by someone else. There'll be a skills coach out there with them. And that should be a really positive part of our year. And it also, you know, kind of kickstarts the next season, which is something we need to do.
When you kind of look back, I mean, as you evaluate what how last season went, and we'll talk about that first, and then we'll get into some of the stuff about next year. But where do you kind of look at, if you were to look at last year's team and go, look, this is what we need to address, this is what we need to improve on, what were some of the things going into, whether it's recruiting or the transfer portal, that you were looking to really improve upon from last year's team?
I just think we had to be capable of playing a heavier game, and I didn't think this year we were as committed to it. Part of that was maybe some personnel that weren't fit to that kind of a game. But also, it's a humble game to play. You're giving up the puck, you gotta go get it back. And I just didn't think we played with a lot of humility, and that was disappointing. We need to correct that. So what we've done, I think, in the recruiting process is we've gotten bigger for sure. We've gotten players who are committed to being a heavier game, kind of more of a ground game type play, which I think will make us a better team in the long run. And maybe not as a flashy in transition as we've been able to be the last couple of years, but more effective in the way we play the game. It's much more of a winning style of hockey, I think, that we've been able to recruit to this next team.
Just so people know, you can't talk about some of the guys that have committed out of the portal just yet. I'm going to ask you about some of the freshman recruits in a couple of minutes, but kind of painting in broad strokes, like when you were looking at guys in the portal, it seems like you guys did some of the stuff that you did 2 years ago, addressing grad guys and especially guys with captains that have been captains, and then at the same time also picking up, I mean, this sounds weird to say from a college perspective, because we're not talking about NHL teams, but guys have, the way I've termed it, guys with some term left on their deals, where you have them for a little bit more long term as well.
Yeah, we were fortunate in that. You know, we went into it mostly thinking grad students. We knew we needed to get older because we lost a lot of older players this year. We had to get older. We knew we needed to replace leadership because we lost a lot of leaders this year. And we were able to do that through the portal with the grad students, and I'm very, very happy about the way that turned out. But then we, you know, we, as we kept going through the process, we had some guys come emerge who were younger players who we feel can help us for a few years. So we're really excited about that. I think, you know, that's a lot more tread in that tire to, you know, kind of use and build your program around. So we're excited about, you know, all the guys we've gotten out of the portal, but it's different this year having some younger guys. And I think that's going to be helpful for the future as well.
You said, I mean, 11 bodies that return. Quite different from a year ago.
Yes,
when most of the guys returned, is that not that there was anything wrong with the guys that are graduating, but like, was there almost a little bit of a shakeup kind of needed? Do you feel like, especially coming off the year that you guys had?
I think, you know, it's interesting. What I learned this year, which, you know, unfortunately this was the last year we could even have a fifth year player this coming up. But what I learned this year is having your own guys back for the fifth year. Maybe not as healthy for anyone. You know, those guys have they've paid their dues here. They've worked really hard to help us be successful. They worked really hard to raise the expectations of our program. Unfortunately, they've listened to the same voice for 4 years. And I think that 50 is a grind, especially when it doesn't go well. It's a real grind for those guys. So I credit them for hanging in and giving us a chance at the end. But I know how difficult the year was for them as well. Coming off the year we had the year before, there's a lot of expectation going into this season. Not being able to meet those expectations was hard, but it was really hard on those particular players. So I'm grateful that they stayed. I'm grateful for the relationships that we've built, and I'm grateful for the footprints that they left here, because they certainly all did.
Not to, you know, make excuses about the year too, but obviously we talked about it all year. Injuries played a role. I don't think it was the only issue, but it was certainly a big one, right?
Injuries, and they happened early, you know, and they didn't happen. Guys didn't get injured for a week or 2 weeks. You know, we lost guys seasons. And I think it was a big part of our year, because one of the things that happens, you know, at one point during the season, we were practicing with five defensemen. You can't practice the same way. And it's hard to tell a guy, hey, we got to play this way on Friday, when you couldn't do it Monday through Thursday. So that was the hardest part was practice. You guys answered the bell of the games. We had some guys really step up and play some big minutes and play really well in those minutes. But the practices just didn't prepare us for the challenge we had. And I struggled with that personally the whole second half because of our numbers. But I think our team also struggled with that just because they couldn't train the right way.
Kind of going position by position, we'll talk about some of the new guys that are coming in too. But let's start with the goaltending spot, because you're going to have two new faces there. One is a transfer, obviously, and we can talk about him down the road, but one of them has been here. Max Lundgren was here over the course of last season. I think was able to practice, right?
Yes, he was.
I guess just what do you see from him? I know he had really good numbers in the USHL 2 years ago. Was kind of one of the top goalies in that league alongside, you know, Michael Hrabal, who was at UMass, and Jacob Fowler, who's at BC. He was kind of right up there, you know, in terms of his USHL numbers with those guys. What have you seen from him as far as practice goes, and where do you kind of see him slotting in next year?
You know, we're really excited about Max. I mean, that's the big reason we had him here this year, was because what happened is exactly what we kind of expected would happen. You know, Hugo signing, and he was preparing himself to do that all year. He was very honest about that last year with us. And Boer's looking for a different opportunity and a different challenge. You know, again, that'd be a fifth-year guy coming back. I think seeing the experience of this year's fifth-year guys, I think, you know, he made the decision to move forward, and I think that's a good one for him. But it really opens the door for Max, and Max was very good this year, especially in the second half of the year as we got through it, and he started to get closer to being able to play, you know, next fall. I thought he dialed in his intensity a lot more in the second half. The one thing about Max Lundgren that it will be an indelible image for me is I'll never forget coming back from Arizona. We got back like early in the morning, like real early. You know, the sun wasn't up yet, and Max was waiting for us. And every game, because he couldn't travel, so every game we got back, he was in the locker room waiting for us, unloading the sticks like all the other freshmen, listening to the, you know, 2 minute, you know, meeting that we'd have. He was such an unbelievable teammate without even having the ability to play. He's won the locker room already with the returning guys. I think there were big things ahead for him. He's going to be challenged, certainly, by the other two goaltenders who have had a lot of success this year. Max hasn't played in a year, but he's very talented. He's very committed to the group, and I'm excited to see his future.
It reminds me that there was a goaltender here more than 10 years ago now, but Rasmus Tiernan was kind of in the same boat. So had to sit out as a freshman, couldn't travel, and then came in and I think still holds the record for saves in a game in a double overtime playoff game at Northeastern. They had like 60-something saves. So it's worked out before in the past.
Well, and that now, because of you know, our league, the goaltending in our league is so elite. Almost every single team has someone that they would have a lot of confidence in. And we've gotten there, obviously, with the goalies we've had here. Having Max come back and knowing what we have in that, it gives us a reason to be confident in that position. And I'm sure the other two guys will challenge him and raise the level of the position even more. But I'm excited he's here for sure.
Defensively, you bring in a couple of guys, well, at least one guy, Seamus Powell, we know comes in from the USHL, spent a year at BC, so technically a transfer student. He'll have 3 years left, I assume. His brother was the captain of that BC team this year that went to the national championship game. What have you seen from him? I mean, it seems like from – I remember seeing him in BC and seeing a little bit in the USHL this year. Bigger kid, I think.
Long.
Really good long. Really good defender.
Long body, long stick. You know, he doesn't have maybe the offensive push that Eamon, his brother, has, but he defends really well. He moves the puck really well. He's a great kid. I mean, the Powell family is uniquely good. And he's going to be a great addition to our group. Like, I think he's going to bring a maturity. He's gone through a little bit of a difficult time, obviously following your brother, not playing a lot. That's hard. And he went through that and made the decision on his own to go to Dubuque. And he's been really good there. Been an assistant captain there. Plays in every situation for them. We're really excited about Seamus. I think he's going to do a great job for us.
Bringing in some portal, or at least one portal defenseman too. But then, do you think there'll be, because that group still seems like it needs to fill out. Is there potential to maybe see another freshman as well?
Yes, I think Nathan King will end up here this year. You know, we've already spoken to him about that. He's had a really good year. Originally, he was going to play another year, but he had a really good year. Not sure what more he can accomplish in junior hockey, so we think he's ready for the next step. His biggest part of his game that he needs to work on is defending. And you're not, you know, because of his size and his reach, he doesn't have to do enough of that in the BCHL right now. So I think getting here, getting into the system, playing against men will be really helpful for him. He's a big, strong guy, and I think playing against people who were just as strong will be important for his game.
Before we look at some of the freshman forwards that are coming in, one of the things that kind of stood out too when you look at everything, which I think is important when you look at how the portal played out. I mean, you guys lose some seniors, or guys that would have been seniors. But the thing that I kind of look back at the end of the year was there was a young core that specifically up front, you know, but also a little bit on D with Bookman, who was only a sophomore, that didn't go anywhere, whether it was Ty Deneau or Ethan. But guys were merging at the end of last year. How important was it to keep those guys? I mean, because that's really, when you look back on it and go, what do you want to build on? Those are the guys that you're going to kind of end up building on and building around, I would think.
100%. I mean, that keeping Ty and Ethan here was critical to our future. Mark Hillier, Bookie and Frank on the back end.
Yeah.
But certainly, up front, I thought that was really important that those guys were still here. And I think that they bring something to our team. They both had really good freshman years. They both were impactful the whole second half, played big minutes. You know, Ty played with a lot of different line mates, but at the end he settled with Mark Hillier, and that was a really good line. And I think that will be really strong for him moving forward, maybe the two of them together. But we'll see. You know, I think we have the right guys are returning to make us a better team. You know, Tyler Young coming back from his injury will be very important. He had a great start to his season. You know, so keeping those guys is important for our next step. It gives us a chance to, you know, be a pretty good team right off the bat next year, and that's what our hope is.
Some freshman forwards that are going to be working their way into. Let's start with Ryan O'Connell. I think he committed before he went to the USHL, right? So he's been on the list for a little bit, but I guess what do you see from him? Where do you see him maybe being a fit?
Ryan's a very competitive young guy. He didn't have, and this happens in the USHL, you know, sometimes he just didn't have the season he wanted to have. He had a difficult summer. You know, he went into his year. He had lost his brother, and I don't know if we ever spoke about that, but a pretty tragic situation. Oh. And I think it was hard for him. It's hard, obviously, for his family. And I think he just gutted through this year. What I'm excited about with Ryan is he's got a huge, huge heart. He loves the game. He plays it hard. I think he's going to do really well here, and we just got to help him, you know, with some of the challenges and move him forward, and that's what our plan is.
Jordan Huseman's another guy who's been committed for a little bit. I think he's a Winnipeg guy,
yes,
right?
Yes, he is.
You don't see a ton of those. You get a lot of Alberta, you got a lot of BC, but it doesn't seem like there's a lot of Manitoba guys that make their way to college hockey, at least in Hockey East, maybe out like the NCHC and stuff. What have you seen from Jordan, and when do you see him slotting in?
You know, it's funny. Jordan, when he was committing to us, was a really high-end offensive player in the Manitoba League. That has not translated in Brooks, but what has translated, he's become a great third-line center for them, takes most of their important face-offs. Kills penalties, blocks shots. You know, the last time I saw him was just about 2 weeks ago. He's tape all over his body. You know, he didn't have his teeth in yet. He's an old school competitive hockey player that finds a way to make his way in the lineup and then finds a way to help you win. And I think that that's a real credit to him because he didn't have that B game before he got to Brooks. But he stuck there, really good program, obviously. He stuck there and found a way to impact their team every night, and that's what I think he'll do here.
Before I move on to some other guys, it's curious because, like, watching Denver win the national championship a couple of weeks ago, that was kind of their team. A lot of guys that sound like that, like O'Connell and Hughes are just competitive guys. They have drafted players too, like Zeev Williams going to go in the top 10 probably, but they don't have a lot of, like, he's the only one. They right. A lot of middle to late round picks and just kind of highly competitive guys. Even if they're not at the top of your lineup, I have to imagine it's important just to have those guys around.
Well, and that it really, and it's funny, our trajectory of our program 3 years ago turned when we had Max Newton, Steven Jandrick, and Jake Derflinger come in here as transfers. I'll never forget what Durf said to me when we started recruiting him. He said, "Coach, I know who I am. I'm an elite fourth-line player on a championship team, and that's what I'm looking for." And obviously that wasn't us at the time. And so called him back a couple days later, and I said, "Durf, how about doing it someplace you're not supposed to do it? Won't that be more fun, you know, than winning at Denver?" We went back and forth. We laughed about that. And, you know, but he came here, and he was the most competitive player. Not that I've ever coached, but he just took it to a whole different level. And then the three of those guys did, you know, during the day, they competed in the morning with yoga. They did all the extra stuff. And it was really important for our other guys to see that, what it took to be a player. And Durf was injured almost all year, but played through it all year. And for them to see that and to kind of learn from that, I thought was really important. And so when you talk about guys like that, that's why Durf was successful at Denver. He did that, just what he did there. And we need to bring that at a higher level throughout our lineup. And I think we got there a couple of years ago. I thought we lacked it this year, and that's what we've tried to address in the portal. We want as many high-compete, leader-type people in our program as possible. I mean, who doesn't, but us too.
Yeah. It makes a difference in those close games.
It does.
It does. Like, one goal game, that's the difference maker. That's the line is so thin, like, that's what gets you on the other side. Sometimes.
That gets you the other, and you're like, hey, Maine beat us twice here. At the time, they had not kind of gotten their game to where it got by the end of the year, obviously. But they beat us twice by a goal because they outcompeted us. Mm-hmm. And I thought the great thing about the Nadeau brothers were how competitive they were, you know. And so that was really good. Lyndon Breen was so competitive, you know. And so your skill has to be competitive too. And your skill has to be your hardest working players. It can't be the other way around. And we have to make sure that's what this team's accountable to going into next year.
A teammate of Huseman was Hunter Wallace. Also at Brooks, a lot of Brooks guys. Zach Bookman played at Brooks. So there's been a obviously established connection there. But Hunter, I think, was more in their top six this year, right?
Yes. Hunter is Hunter will remind a lot of people of Mac Welcher. Like, his engine just does not stop. He's same stature as Mac. He does a little bit more with his hands probably, and you know, has the ability to finish, I think, whereas Mac, you know, was usually a guy who was helping someone else finish. But I think Hunter can finish. And the exciting thing for him is I'd coach Mac Welser for 30 years if I could, you know, because he just works so hard every day. You know exactly what you're going to get from Mac every single practice, never mind the games. And that's who Hunter Wallace is. So, and I remember when we recruited him, I asked Bookie, because they were good friends, I said, Bookie, who do you compare him to on our team? He says, Mac Welser. And he knew what he was saying to me, because we all want Mac Welser on our team. And so Hunter is going to be that kind of a player for us, I think. I think he'll make contributions up and down the lineup and in every situation.
Keeping it out west, because there's a lot of Western Canadian guys in this group, Van Uhas is another guy who played for, is it Drumheller?
Drumheller
this year?
Yeah.
Is that where Ty Denault played?
Yes, they were linemates, actually.
Okay, well, there you go. What have you seen from him, and where do you see him slotting in the lineup?
You know, it's interesting. He's a long body and not very thick right now. Certainly has to put some weight on his frame, but really sees the rink. He was the wing. He played right wing, and Ty played left wing.
Okay.
Their center was this young man named Corey Piggin, who was going to CC. But he fed a lot of those pucks to Ty, and was really good in that role. And I just saw him play recently. He was a captain of the team. They lost in the semifinal of their league. But he's going to be a very good player here. I don't know if he'll come onto the scene quite like Ty did here. But Ty had a bigger opportunity, right, because we had so many injuries, so we got to play more. But I'm really excited about Van. I think he's going to be a really good player here. It's just going to be a matter of when, you know. And the great thing about he's from Medicine Hat, he's just a hockey player, you know. And he's a good student, but he's a hockey player. And I really like the trajectory of where his game's moving. And I think that he'll play in every situation before his career is over. How quickly he gets there is going to be up to his body.
Caden Cranston, I think if we were having this conversation a year ago, I don't know how many radars he would have been on. But he explodes in the BCHL this year. Where did he lead the league? He may have finished as a leading scorer in the league. He was
definitely
up there. Okay, so you lead the league in the BCHL in scoring. That's impressive. I don't care if you're a 20-year-old or not. That's pretty impressive, because that's right up, especially now, right up there with the USHL is the top two development
leagues
there. So it seems like he really exploded this year from what I've seen, the little bit that I've watched him play, and certainly the numbers kind of suggest it too, a distributor with the puck, maybe more of a setup guy than a goal scorer, but it seems like a guy who can come in and contribute.
I would think so. And the great thing about Caden is he's done it the absolute right way. He didn't bill it until this year. Like he played near his house all the way through. Played for the Rockets, like the premier team, then stayed with them and played for their NCDC team, and then went to BCHL. But he never billed it. He just went through it. He's got no ego. Like, it's just, when he visited here, you never would have known that he was having such a prolific year, you know, because he was very humble and with his dad, and, you know, a really good guy. Like, I think that he's going to be a really good teammate. But he sees the rink very, very well. Similar to Van, but I think Caden sees it at a real elite level. And he's able to put pucks in places where other guys can go get them and make plays. He still had over 30 goals himself.
Yeah.
But I agree. I think he's going to be a guy who can help us immediately. He's a little bit older. He's not big in stature, but he plays a big game. We just have to get him going when he gets here. You know, he's going to have to play a lot of games this year. Surrey's got a pretty good team. They might play for a while. But we'd like to get him, you know, here in the summer and really start to build his body and get it. Like, he's very undeveloped in that regard. I think he's trained, as most players going into the junior, he's trained well, but not unbelievable. And I think that side of his game will take a big step. And with that taking a big step, he could be even more prolific here.
And then the last guy out of the forward group is Nick Pierre, who, again, you're talking about numbers, 20-plus goals in the USHL. It's pretty impressive. And he's been one of the leaders, I think, on his team this year, too, if I remember. I think
yes.
He has a letter. So, again, seems like fitting that mold of a guy who's been a captain and obviously a guy who's been able to contribute offensively when you look at the goal totals he put up this year and even last year in the USHL.
Even two years ago, the year that Sioux City won the championship, he had over 20 goals for that team. So he scored at every level, and he scored a lot in USHL. He's going to probably have over 50 goals and maybe 55 goals in 3 years. And he wore a letter, as you mentioned. A tough situation in Omaha. They went through a lot of players this year. He hung in there. He got recruited heavily to try to get him out to the BCHL, to get him to move leagues because they're not in Hockey Canada anymore, mm-hmm. so they can do that. But he just hung in there, and he stayed with his team, which I appreciate. You know, that's a good teammate. That team wasn't going to the playoffs. He knew that. But he wanted to lead them and help them be as good as they could. And he had over 20 goals for the second time in 3 years in the USHL. That's a player who should contribute to us pretty quickly.
Overall, when you look at the way the roster has kind of been built, both through freshmen and through the guys that you picked up from the portal standpoint, it strikes me as being deeper. And, of course, that you bank that a little bit on health, too.
Yeah.
Some of the lack of depth last year had to do with health more than anything else. But it does feel like there's going to be some decisions that have to be made, maybe some tough ones, because the depth, you know, particularly up front, is going to be – better than it was a year ago. You're going to have more options.
We will. Like we interestingly enough, that's the hard thing about the portal era, mm-hmm. is you have to coach every line and every player, because some of those players who may not get the opportunities, who are part of those tough decisions, they don't stick with their development as often or as long as they used to, right? So before the portal, when you just knew that guy would be back the next year, such a headache to transfer. So now, you know, as a coaching staff, as a program, as a department, you really got to make sure those guys feel like they're being trained all year. And if you do that, you keep those guys happy, they'll develop and they'll move through the program. But certainly up front, we're going to have some difficult decisions. There'll be some guys out of the lineup some nights that has nothing to do with how they're playing. It's just someone else is playing better. And that's what you want to have. And we weren't able to do that this year. And now, again, that was mostly health related, but we couldn't compete. And that was disappointing for our practices because that's what they need to be. But with this group, I think we'll be very competitive right away.
Yeah, and I think, too, like when you look at, okay, you had some guys going to the portal, Alex Jeffrey signs. You can look at the top of that scoring chart and go, okay, there's some pieces that aren't going to be back. But I think you also got to remember that, you know, Ty Danault was trending into being one of those players by the end of last year. He was there at the end of last year. And then, again, we'll specifically talk about some of these guys, what you can, but I think some of the guys you grabbed out of the portal, there's high ceilings on those players too. So not only were they able to come in maybe in places last year where they were as freshmen and contribute a lot in some cases, but there's also a pretty high ceiling on some of those players that are going to kind of grow into their roles too, balancing it out with some of the fifth year guys. It's just that's where the depth seems to me like it's lines 1 through 4 are going to be deeper, I think, than what lines 1 through 4 were a year ago. And again, some of that is to do with health.
Well, even with health last year, even with good health, I think we're deeper.
Yeah,
this year
I would agree. Yeah,
you know, so it's exciting as you look at it and you think about all the pieces, the new freshmen, the guys who are coming back, returning with another year under their belt, the Danos, the Soteras, the Bonos, the Hilliers. You know, then you have guys who you hope will emerge, like Tyler Young was, and David Sacco showed flashes of last year. You know, you have a good group there that can really potentially do some special things. And with the additions of the older players we were able to bring in, I think that just makes that group stronger, because they've already had college success. And each of those players have. That's a really good thing for us. Each of those players have had success where they were, and that's going to make them much more quickly able to be successful here.
Do you take away anything? This last thing. Do you take away anything kind of watching the way the tournament played out too? When one by one, BC was the last one standing, and they're a super talented team, obviously. But you kind of one by one watch the quote-unquote high skill teams, for lack of a better term, those teams that had a lot of first round picks, kind of one by one dropped out. And BC was the last one standing, but at the end of the day, the team that won the championship was still the one that defended harder. I think played a little bit harder up until the third period. BC turned it on in that third period, but there is still a formula there where you don't need to have 4 or 5 first round picks in order to win. In fact, the teams that have generally had those maybe have made it to the Frozen Four, even like Michigan 2 years ago, but haven't necessarily had the success in terms of winning that ultimate trophy at the end.
You know, it's funny. I think that that's the thing that I, what I take away from it is, you know, we played games with BC last year, two tight ones here where we had the lead in both of them.
Yeah.
Weren't able to keep it. And we just didn't play with maturity in those games. Like what Denver did, and even in the third period, you know, BC came on, but what Denver did is they played really mature without the puck, and they worked their tail off getting above the puck. And I thought that, you know, we communicated that really well last year. That's how, that was our recipe for success. But unless you have that through every guy in your lineup, it's just not going to work. And I thought Denver had that with every guy in the lineup. And that's our goal, too. That's every team's goal. But that's something we did not have this year that we need to have to be successful. And we can win this league. You know, I don't care who's in this league. We can win this league. We just need to stay true to Merrimack and who we are as a team. And I thought we got away from that a little bit. And we're going to get back to it.
All right, Coach. Well, hey, let's do another one maybe in a few weeks or maybe into the summer once some of those guys that are transferring are papered. We can talk about some of them as well and maybe talk about how the summer stuff has gone so far. So
that'd be great.
Thanks for taking time today, as always.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.